But Gerrard! Here's Rooney! Oh my goodness me! That is one of the strikes of the season! Absolutely brilliant!
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of FPL 360, where not all things are as lost as Christian Benteke is finishing.
Yeah, that... Speaking of Crystal Palace, Missy Batshuayi is in pain off the bench.
You mean that he also caught the Palace finishing bug?
Yeah. I mean, in Zaha's goal, that was a fluke. That was lucky he got deflected. That whole team just confuses the shit out of me. Because they should be doing better than they are. A lot better.
Oh, they should be. But, you know, if you want to stay up in the Premier League, you need a forward. And even more importantly, a forward that can score goals. And Palace just doesn't seem to have it.
Yeah, I mean, since we're talking about forwards, we should probably talk about the elephant in the room, and that is the last couple episodes I've been saying I don't think you need to have Aguero in OFPL. I think you can go without him. So
I've been rolling with Lacazette up front. So how do you think I'm feeling?
So Aguero, I saw something from Opta Joe, one of the best accounts to follow for these little tidbits. Aguero has become just the sixth player in Premier League history to register 200 goal involvements for a single club in the Premier League. So he joins Wayne Rooney, Ryan Giggs, Henri, Lampard, and Gerrard.
And hasn't he done that in a lot less time than they have?
Yeah, I mean, two hat-tricks in his last three appearances. I think I'm going to have to transfer him in for game week 27, which is not this weekend, which we realized when I made the script. It's actually next weekend.
I'm going to have... well, you don't want to transfer him in for game week 27 because he doesn't have a game.
That's correct. So probably game week 28 then. The next time he plays.
But I need to think about some roster mechanics that are going to involve shedding Leroy Sané in a way that I can upgrade Florin Andon to Sergio Aguero. So this is going to be real fun.
Yeah, I mean, Aguero, obviously the threat of rotation was kind of why I had stayed away from him before. But I mean, at this point, with his form, I mean, I don't really see him missing any more starts really to Jesus unless it's conflicted with the Champions League. Right, I mean, is that spot pretty much his for the rest of the season?
I mean, it should be. It was, I mean, outside of the festive period, it really has been.
I mean, I know Jesus has scored. Obviously, he's got more time, but he's, I think he has 9 goals since the start of the year.
But he's still not Aguero. And let's be real. After City has battered a team, we could score a goal.
Yeah. With Aguero, though, this is kind of always been my little slight at him. I know he's in line for his, it's got to be at least his 6th straight season in a row with at least 20 goals. It always seems, though, when I look back, that he goes through spurts where he won't score for 4 or 5 games, and then he has a couple hat tricks. And I'd be interesting to look at it over the last couple seasons, but to see how many hat tricks he's had in relationship to how many goals he's had each season.
Well,
so I guess being like how much of his scoring has come when he just pours it on in single games versus his distribution over the entire season on a week-to-week basis.
Also, another question would be how many home games does City have left?
Yeah, I mean, I don't own any of them in OFPL.
Well, it's
which
just
I do need to change, but I can answer that for you right now.
Because it's just that Aguero does most of his damage at home.
So they have West Ham, Watford, Cardiff, Spurs, Leicester.
Yeah,
so
but
it's 1, 2, 3.
But
They have five home games for me.
But literally, in their next five games, only two of them are at home.
Yeah, so that's West Ham 28, and then the Cherries away, Watford, at United, and then at Fulham for home to Cardiff.
Yeah,
I mean, I still think at this point, if you're going to have one of the City premiums, I mean, it has to be him. I know Sterling looks like the midfielder.
That's kind of in for me. It's going to come down to is where exactly is Harry Kane?
Yeah, it's just the time of the season where we always forget about Kane because he's out.
And we're about to hit Kane's favorite time of year.
Yeah. I mean, before we get to him, though, we should talk about Chelsea. Obviously, it's too soon to say this realistically, but is Sarri on the hot seat?
How is it too soon? Because Sarri was on
How hot is his seat?
Sarri,
how hot is his hot seat?
Sarri was brought in as a transitional manager for Chelsea. Therefore, Sarri was on the hot seat from day one. I really struggle with this because on one hand, I love watching Chelsea crash and burn, losing in this manner to both Bournemouth and Manchester City. On another hand, I think that Sarri is one, a product of his own arrogance, and two, also hard done by the board.
Well, I mean, you look at Chelsea's last six matches. So they took care of Huddersfield Town prior to that, losing to Bournemouth, have that 2-0 loss to Arsenal. They beat Newcastle 2-1, and they had that draw with Southampton. So you can honestly say over the last six matches, they played absolutely horrible.
That would be correct.
And I think the bigger issue I have with the manner of their recent form is that loss to Eddie Howe's boys looks a lot worse. Not obviously more so just because Bournemouth turned around and they lost to Cardiff.
It doesn't look as bad theoretically because David Brooks was semi-healthy for that game.
But they didn't have Wilson. Josh King and Brooks.
Josh King's not a slouch, though. And they still had Frazier.
No, I guess
has much better attacking options than we want to give them credit for.
No, I mean, the thing I'm getting at more so is that you have Sarri ball, and clearly it doesn't work when you have a shaky defense like Chelsea's.
Well, yeah, and that's what it comes down to is the fact that Sarri is not a fit for the current Chelsea personnel. But Sarri also hasn't really brought in that much new personnel.
Yeah, he still needs to buy the rest of Napoli from 4 years ago. You got Higuain, he has Jorginho, they need Koulibaly. Who else? And they're going to just have to go Callejon. Just buy the rest of Napoli's attacking options, and then they'll score enough goals where...
I mean, I think...
probably won't matter.
I think the front three, if they stop fucking playing Pedro, would be fine. But this whole midfield configuration just isn't working because Jorginho's a defensive liability, and when anyone gets past Jorginho, it's not like Luiz and Rudiger are good enough in defense to pick them up.
Yeah. And it also doesn't help when you have Ross Barkley out there. I guess I was kind of surprised that he started. You would think that Sarri would have the foresight to think maybe I should play a midfielder who's more inclined to defend.
I mean, I still don't understand why Ruben Loftus-Cheek and Callum Hudson-Odoi are not playing games.
Look, I mean, the configuration of having, like, and it's, I'm not, N'Golo Kanté, I'm not including in this because
that's
if you're
been,
playing
that's,
N'Golo
that
Kanté,
horse has
where
been
he should
beaten
be,
to death.
Yeah. But, you know, you have the likes of Kovacic on the bench. He should have been starting from the get-go. Not that, I mean, do I think
I mean
it's a closer game with him on the field? Probably
I don't.
Not.
I was going to say, I don't think Kovacic honestly helps this game.
No, but what I'm saying is you go into a match, and this kind of speaks to what you're saying about, sorry, being arrogant. You go into this match and say, okay, I think that Ross Barkley and Pedro give us a better chance to win than playing five in the midfield or playing four in the midfield and bringing in Kovacic and Loftus-Cheek and putting Pedro and Barkley on the bench.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually don't understand why Conte signed his extension with Chelsea.
How much do we know how much he's on a week?
A lot.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I just, yeah, we're not going to go down that path. We've already talked about him too much. And I don't want to talk really about Chelsea anymore.
Well,
the club I do want to talk
about is my boy. Wait. Does Sarri finish the season as Chelsea's manager? Yes or no?
Oh, 100%. I don't see why they would go through all the trouble of having brought him in and then...
Because it's Chelsea?
Just signing Jorginho.
Because it's Chelsea?
Yeah, but I just don't think...
I mean, I think he should remain Chelsea's manager until the end of the season. I don't think he will, but also, I don't think firing him helps Chelsea because at this point, they're not making Champions League unless they win Europa.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on the flip side, Big Sam is available last time I checked, so they could bring him in to shore up the defense.
Another team that we're going to talk about later should just bring Big Sam back because he's better than what they have now.
What team, why don't we just talk about them then, since I'm interested to see who you're going to bring up.
You already know who I'm going to bring up. It's who Big Sam was managing last year and has been torpedoed by their choice for manager because he doesn't know what defense is. That's Everton.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like you're describing Marco Silva. Yeah, the Toffees have confused the shit out of me lately. What's your take on why? Is this just the defensive issues or?
It's everything. Marco Silva was literally given a blank check and all of the leeway in the world to stamp his vision on Everton. Even after Everton turned his head, completely doomed Watford, and still went to hire him, which realistically, if it's that easy to get a manager to get bad results, they don't deserve to be hired in the first place. And then things looked nice because Everton was beating up on bad teams. But then as the shine wore off, we realized that all we were left with was a giant pile of shit.
Yeah, so we look at their last... What's that, two?
Aren't they, like, winless in, like, almost eight now?
So, looking back to the middle of February, 2-1 loss to Southampton, 3-2 loss to Millwall in the FA Cup. Win at Huddersfield Town, 3-1 defeat at home to Wolves, 2-0 defeat at home against City, and then they lost to Watford. They've also had two red cards in their last four games. So, yeah, you could say that defense is an issue.
Everything's an issue, actually.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing too is that Gylfi has stopped scoring.
Well, Gylfi stopped scoring. Silva's poster boy, Richarlison, has been abject shit. There's no striker. There's no other winger to play because Walcott's not good. Bernard hasn't been good enough. And they won't just give the position to Lookman straight up.
Yeah, I mean, you have Richarlison and Gylfi, and they've scored combined 19 of Everton's goals. And then you have Calvert-Lewin with 4.
Isn't that just like Digne?
Digne with 3 goals and 3 assists. Tosin, 2 goals, 3 assists. Gomez, 1 and 1.
Yeah,
and then you have Zuma, Dean, Coleman, Mina, each with 1.
A two-man crew is not going to get it done in the Premier League.
Yeah, have you lost faith in Digne and OFPL?
Oh, no, I'm going to play him until the cows come home just because of the fact that he's the third best Everton attacker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I still have Richarlison at the moment.
It's also, like, at Digne's price, like, is it really that big of a deal if he's not producing every week? No.
Yeah, I mean, Richarlison's been really annoying me because the last 3 times I went to transfer him out, the weekend before I transferred him out, he scored. So that was 16, 19, and 24. So I've been kind of planning to get him out, and then I have it. I think I'm going to move off of him at this point. I just have to figure out to who. Because, like last season, he had a really good first half, and then he just kind of hit a wall.
That's why I'm happy that my...
We do forget that we forget how young he is. He's still only been in the Premier League for, what, a year and a half now?
Well, also, we forget the fact that he's, what, 21 now?
Yeah. So, yeah, there's that. I mean, Silva, it's kind of his ship at this point, so I think they're just going to ride it out. I do think in the long run, Everton will be fine under him, but yeah, he does need to read a manual on defending, or at least show his defenders how to defend. I mean, do you think they'll sign? I guess what's more important, them buying?
It doesn't matter who they sign.
Striker.
Everton hit what they spent over $100 million on new players this year, and they're still shit after they spent over $90 million on new players last year. Like, at some point, the money is going to run out.
Yeah, I mean, if in the summer, what's more important, that they go out and buy a natural striker or a center back? I mean, they don't
Neither.
Really need a center back with Mina.
They don't need a center back. And to be completely honest, I don't really think the striker issue is as big as it's being made out to be. The problem is the fact that this summer, there's another chance that they lose Idrissa Gueye. And if they lose him, the little shred of defense that they have is screwed. Everton needs a midfield, and they probably need a formation change.
Yeah, in my opinion, I've already kind of written him off as he's leaving.
Yeah. And there is
I don't
no.
Really see how they can keep him happy.
And there is no replacement for him.
Yeah, so I guess defensive midfielder would be their biggest priority.
Because Morgan Schneiderlin doesn't exist in that team.
Yeah. He's also getting old. He's never really been the same since he left Southampton.
End rant. I'll let you move on now.
So, United, since December 9th, have the most points and the joint fewest goals conceded.
Still not catching Spurs.
Is it safe to say I think United are going to finish in the top 4?
I mean, we both have said
What's
this.
What's your opinion on that?
Haven't we both admitted this on multiple podcasts now?
Yeah, but how high do you think?
I told you they're not catching.
They're gonna finish.
I've said multiple times they're finishing 4th because they're not catching Spurs. because Spurs have been abject shit in each of their past games, and they've picked up 9 points.
Yeah, I don't know how Spurs are doing what they're doing. What is your opinion Pochettino on that?
Voodoo.
Because I just, yeah, like I, when like, they conceded, when Vardy scored this weekend, I thought that was going to end in a draw, and then they kind of just, in the Spurs fashion, pulled it out.
The undrawables are becoming a reality. Spurs have already gone the longest ever without drawing a match. So now they just need to complete the entire season without drawing a match. At this point,
I'm looking at it. That's insane.
Spurs are 9 points up on United in the table. Spurs are 10 points up on fifth. It would take the collapse of collapses to not finish top four.
Or Spurs making a deep run in the Champions League.
No. Because even a deep run in the Champions League, if you sacrifice, like, that would sacrifice, like, what, 4 points?
And you're an injury and a Champions League runaway. Another injury and a Champions League runaway from potentially finishing fifth.
I mean, but Spurs are already starting to get healthier again. The midfield is close to back, because now you're only missing Dele Alli from the midfield because Dyer, Wanyama, and Sissoko are all back. Harry Kane is on the verge of coming back.
Dyer's back?
Yeah, Dyer's back.
Did he just not play this past weekend?
He did not.
Okay, I thought he was still... Well, actually, you are getting healthier. That's a good point. I just don't know. I think for Spurs, I mean, that Dortmund's going to be tricky.
Oh, I'm terrified as hell. But the one good thing, Heung-min Son loves playing Dortmund because he destroyed them at Leverkusen. He's destroyed them with Spurs. And he's probably going to score 3 goals over those 2 matches against them.
Yeah, so tomorrow is going to be very interesting because we have Manchester United, PSG. Wednesday, it's... So Spurs host the first leg.
Which is the better method of the two. Because I'd rather have Harry Kane for the trip to Dortmund than at home.
Yeah, and looks like Marco Reus will miss the first leg too. So that helps.
Oh, great. I can watch Christian Pulisic potentially score on my team. So excited for that.
Yeah, I think Spurs are going to... I think it's going to be probably the most exciting... I don't know. It's going to be... This round of 16 is weird because, you know, 2 months ago, I was dreading the United PSG, but now...
I think they would have won it with Mourinho.
I mean, now that's a good one. Yeah, but it would have been like pulling teeth watching that shit.
It's still going to be like pulling teeth You're going to have a heart attack during that game.
But it's still going to... The difference will be, it won't be like if Mourinho was still in charge and we won, it would be a 0-0 draw at PSG with PSG having like 85% of possession and Mourinho playing 7 defenders.
No,
and then they would come to Old Trafford and a Pogba PK would get us through.
It would be stuff of legends with the McTominay winner.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that one's going to be good, but I guess because we were talking about the Tottenham Dortmund one. I mean, what do you think they need to win? They need a 2-goal cushion before they go to Dortmund in order to have a chance?
No.
Or do you think that regardless Spurs of the result, they still have a chance to go through?
I mean, as long as Spurs don't lose by multiple goals, they have a chance. Because Spurs have been better away from home than they have been at home. Like, I'm actually pretty sure Spurs have more points away in the Premier League than every team in the Premier League not named Manchester City and Liverpool has at home.
Let's see. Tottenham actually have the most points away. They have 33, Liverpool has 30, City has 26, United has 26.
And so who has the most points at home?
Home is City on 39, Liverpool 35, Arsenal 32, Chelsea 28, Tottenham 27.
I love when I can half remember stats and still be right.
yeah. No, but I am excited for that Spurs-Dortmund match on Wednesday. Sticking with their most recent game, though, we should talk about Leicester briefly. And I guess the first thing I wanted to get your thoughts on was Tielemans' debut.
I mean, he looked good. He looked like the Tielemans from Anderlecht and not the Tielemans from Monaco, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, he looked like the Tielemans that everyone knows from playing either FIFA Career or Football Manager a couple of years ago.
Oh, yes, I've signed him in Football Manager multiple times. Honestly, may do an update and play with Leicester solely so that I could have him and their youth prospects, because Tielemans, Harvey Barnes, and Hamza Choudhury are quite the fucking midfield.
Yeah, we had Vardy come off the bench. Not Andre Gray. Damari Gray was up front. They had Tielemans and Madison in midfield with Ndidi behind them.
Can we say three cheers for Hugo Lloris? They look good.
Yeah, he had quite the day.
Without Hugo, Spurs lose what? 4-2?
Yeah, Lloris had 9 saves.
Including stopping Vardy's penalty?
Yeah, I didn't watch that match. I didn't see the penalty. I saw his Vardy's second goal. Was it a nice save? I actually haven't seen the highlights.
Vardy's goal was a wonderful team goal, and I hated that I had to cheer for that.
I didn't see the penalty.
I mean, it wasn't necessarily a great save, but it was just Hugo's anticipation. He had much better saves in that game than that one, but...
Yeah, I mean, on Tielemans, though, since we didn't talk too much about him when we did our transfer episode, but let me pull up.
Well, that's just because we didn't know where he was going to slot in, and he seems like he's going to slot in slightly ahead of whoever the more defensive midfielder is for Leicester, and that's a good place for him.
Yeah, so he had 6.5 points in Fantrax with Toga scoring. Do you think he's going to average? Would you say that's closer to what he's going to average, or do you think he'd average more the rest of the season? You think he's around a 6.5, or is he more like 8.5, nearing towards like a fringe midfielder too?
I'm going to say he's going to bounce between 7.5 on average, and then have weeks where he'll pop out 15.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, obviously a lot of that's going to be just depending upon where he's playing on a week-to-week basis and how Claude Puel wants to deploy his side.
Which we never know, because Claude Puel has some real weird tactics home and away.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what other games come to mind from this week. We should talk about Burnley Brighton, because Ashley Barnes cannot stop scoring.
I mean, he does this every year. He'll have a patch where he's just lightning in a bottle and then he disappears.
Yeah, so Barnes, I mean, I've been thinking about bringing him in OFPL for the last couple weeks and I haven't done it. We'll take a look. Yeah, so he scored in 3 straight games. Obviously, he has 2 penalties in the mix. He had a goal and assist against Brighton. If you had to pick between him at 5.6 and Chris Wood Obviously, Chris Wood's a little more expensive at 6.2. Who would you go with? And I guess more so thinking, do you think Barnes is going to continue scoring, or is it Wood's turn to turn it on after his brace?
I mean, I still don't want to back either. I think that Barnes is probably chasing lost points at this point, and I just haven't seen anything where I can actually, like, you know, trust Chris Wood.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Wood has 2-3. He's got, with the brace, he has 5 goals in his last 8 matches.
Try and think if there's anyone. I mean, the most trustworthy person around that price range is... I can't believe I'm about to say this, but it's probably Orente.
Oh. Yeah, that's rough. I mean
Lorente did have an assist. I hate Lorente, but the ball doesn't lie. And it since his own goal and getting a big fat negative, he got 12 points against Watford and then picked up the assist against Newcastle. And he'll probably at least end up continuing in that spot for at least 2 to 3 more weeks.
So I guess to put my question in like a better context, if you have Danny Ings, or if you've held him or currently have him in OFPL, would it make sense to consider moving to Barnes from him? Just with Ings having obviously been dealing with this hamstring injury, and then with him coming back, Southampton having Arsenal, United, and Spurs in their next 4.
I mean, considering that you can't trust either of Charlie Austin or Shane Long, I'd consider it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm currently dealing with. I'm deciding who I want to go, what I want to do with Ings, and whether that's do I want to just...
Oh, I got rid of Ings a long time ago for Jimenez.
Yeah, do I want to just get rid of Ings and then just bring in an extremely cheap forward and upgrade somewhere else? Or do I want to roll the dice and say, okay, I think Barnes might keep scoring just because he's on penalties and then not expect a ton? But that's...
Yeah, that's why I'm planning to roll with a midfield 3 of Son, Salah, and Pogba, with Camarasa sort of coming in off the bench, and a front 3 hopefully of Aguero, Jimenez, and Lacazette.
Yeah, I this week I had, because Rashford didn't play, I ended up having 5 in my midfield: Pogba, Son, Salah, Richarlison, JWP. Although I have liked what I've gotten since I brought in Firmino, and I just have to tip my hat to him for his... Do we want to call that a back heel, or do we want to call that
a diagonal heel?
A diagonal heel on the Salah goal.
Yeah, I don't know what to call it, but it was dirty.
Yeah. Also, in that game, we had Sadio Mane scoring for the first time in his Premier League career in 4 straight. And then tip of the cap to Gini Wijnaldum for his goal. That was sweet. The little dinker over the top of Arthur Boric.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
I guess we're with Liverpool. Do you think they're going to catch City? I mean... Well, not as in...
Do you mean catch them? Because Liverpool has a game in hand.
Well, I'm already it's Liverpool, so we know they're going to fall behind. But when they inevitably fall behind City, do you think they're going to catch them?
Because
with City's performance against Chelsea, it's really hard to see them dropping points for the rest of the season.
Well, that's the interesting thing. I think Liverpool is better playing from behind than they are playing from ahead.
Yeah, they can't handle the pressure of being top dogs.
Which is where this title race gets real interesting.
Yeah, the thing I forgot to mention when we were talking about United was that when you look at the remaining fixtures, United still, they have Liverpool, Arsenal, City, Chelsea
left and, to play. Well, who's another team that has all four of those teams to play? Tottenham.
Yeah, this is, you know, I'm obviously I did not want the season to start how it did. Not just for United, but with seeing so much success for Liverpool. But I think this is going to be a heck of a final stretch of the season.
The annoying thing is that knowing Spurs, they will literally beat every top team that they play, come within 3 points of the title, and lose to West Ham in April.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening.
Because it's never the big teams that end up giving Tottenham trouble in this. Like, I will never forget when Tottenham lost the title to Leicester, the 2-2 draw against West Brom.
Yeah, knowing how stuff works for Tottenham, they'll make it the entire season without a draw, and then they'll draw their last three matches of the season.
No, they'll draw Huddersfield.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah, when Huddersfield have already been mathematically eliminated.
But mathematically, there is a chance, and Spurs do control their own destiny in this title race, to use an American sports term.
The issue with anyone not named Liverpool is just City are in cruise control. I mean, they have Tottenham and they have United left, but that's the only.
Are we forgetting Newcastle?
Oh, I was thinking about good teams.
No, that's what I mean. Are we forgetting the fact that literally only 4 weeks ago now, City dropped points to Newcastle?
Yes, because looking at their matches, you have them beating Liverpool, you have them beating Arsenal on both, pretty much both sides of that.
City also,
in typical City fashion, they did a couple times last season. You know, they lost to Crystal Palace last season. Yeah, they did. They lost to Crystal Palace last season also, I believe. Like they still have
another match against Crystal Palace. I honestly think that they lose to United in the Manchester Derby at Old Trafford. And they don't need to drop many points. They just need to drop their games to United and Spurs.
Yeah, it's going to be
Champions League.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting down the stretch. I am just leaning towards City at this point because I just, A, don't want Liverpool. It's tough because I don't want either of those teams to win the league, but I just don't think Liverpool can handle the pressure.
I don't want anyone to win the league that is not named Spurs. Unfortunately, this is where we come to the harsh reality of my fandom versus me being someone who is supposed to break down this game in a rational sense. Because as a fan, I obviously fully have faith that Spurs can pull this off. As a realist, it's probably City's to lose.
Yeah, I think before we get, because we've slowly went from talking about the title race to meandering into both of us just trying to indirectly make a case for United and Spurs to win the title. So we should probably get to Twitter questions.
I think we should probably cut it off. I mean, what's wrong with that?
Which one do we want to start with? Because we got three this week.
I mean, we've already talked about JWP a little bit, so we should probably start with that question.
Yeah, so we have a question from GD underscore Bristol on Twitter. In Taga, 8-team league, JWP and Yota, are they worth keeping? Or is it time to move on?
So that's actually a pretty tough question.
I think JWP is worth keeping because of his set piece upside, and also it has a lot to do with me thinking Yota's not that good. And I know a couple of weeks ago before he had his hat trick, I kind of went on a rant about that, but I just don't think he's that good.
So you're saying you trust Southampton even after the loss to Cardiff?
No, what I'm saying is that I think JWP is more, when Southampton wins, since he's been back in the side, he's almost always involved in the creation or scoring goals. So I think it's a bigger chance that they rebound than Yota.
First, let's start with the context, because this is an 8-team league. Honestly, I don't think either are worth keeping in an 8-team league.
Yeah, you probably can do better. Yeah, definitely in an 8-team league. But I mean, I guess to broaden that a little bit.
Well, I mean, in a 12-team league, you're holding anyone with any value, so you have to keep both.
So in it, I guess the 10, we'll go in the middle. In a 10-team league, who would you rather have?
Billing.
Okay, that wasn't one of the choices, Chuck.
But would he be available in a 10-team league?
It probably comes down to who you're playing, who's in your league, how in tune they are.
So yes.
Yeah, most likely he's going to be there. Yeah, but I think you're right, and I got a little bit ahead of myself. In an 8-team league, I don't think you really need to hold either of those guys.
Because the problem is, from here on out, even though Wolves have such a tasty schedule moving forward, they're realistically a better team when they're playing with a front three than a front two. Southampton, we just don't know what we're going to get from them on a week-to-week basis. Like, on one week, they'll look like they're safely a mid-table team. On another week, they look like they should be relegated.
Yeah, and I just always, I mean, I'm probably higher on JWP just because I'm a fan of him, but also because of the set piece upside.
Yeah, which the set piece upside's good, but like,
yeah, and in 18,
someone else still needs to score the goals, and without Danny Ings in, it's not as great.
The next question we'll talk about, we got one from FM Pernas on Twitter. Which side would you rather have in a trade, Pedro and Phil Billing or Dele Alli? I think this is a tough one because you're essentially weighing how you rate Pedro versus Dele Alli being out that long. Because I think we'll both agree that Phil Billing is a good asset to acquire because of his peripheral metric scoring.
Well, looking at how Chelsea's trending and the fact that I don't think Pedro should be starting to begin with, it's easily Dele Alli.
Even though he's out till what, mid, is it the beginning of March or mid March?
I think the beginning.
Okay.
So like realistically with FA Cup, that means he could be coming off the bench pretty soon. And it's like also Pedro's a forward. I could likely find other forwards who are decent. Because it's not like Pedro scored that many points.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can even, like, let's say you're on the Dele side. Or, sorry, if, let's say you're on the side giving away Dele. Actually, I don't know. This trade, now that I'm thinking about it, I mean, I do think obviously Dele Alli is the best player in this, but
I mean, it's probably more even than anything.
Yeah. Because in terms of plug and play forwards, like we just talked about, you know, you have Chris Wood could be useful for a match here or there. Barnes is obviously his ownership's risen, so he's probably not out there in the streaming territory. But, you know, people have probably dropped guys who have been underperforming to get some of these new players in. So, yeah, I don't think Pedro – I wouldn't be trying to trade for Pedro right now.
No, I would not.
Unless you have really deep forwards already and you just need a midfielder. So I guess it would probably be better if we kind of knew the construction of the person giving away Dele's team. Because if you have three solid forwards and you're a little bit shallow in midfield, I mean, I guess I could see that happening, assuming that you need to win now to keep pace with the top of the table.
Yeah, that's fair.
Next question we have from Jay Will on Twitter.
This is a long one.
Yeah, so he wants to know what to do with Lucas Moura, Aaron Moy, David Brooks, Jesse Lingard, Ross Barkley, Ander Herrera, Ozil.
So we're going to start with that part of his question.
So essentially with midfielders that you wouldn't expect to be someone you would consider dropping.
I only see 1.5 midfielders worth holding in that.
So I'm saying you don't want to drop. Obviously, you don't want to drop Brooks.
That's our agree.
You definitely don't want to drop.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I was
initially, now you see the 1.5.
Yeah. I think we might have a different one. I'm saying Lingard.
I'm saying Herrera.
Okay, so I guess we'll call that 0.5 because they both play for United.
Everyone else is droppable.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Ozil, I probably would have said he's not droppable until this week when you had Mkhitaryan come and play.
I mean, I've said Ozil was droppable at five different points in this season. So I'm full on done with him and almost every Arsenal midfielder.
Yeah, so the Herrera, I mean, I guess Herrera probably, he probably has a better chance of getting more starts from here on out for Manchester United just because of they still have to play.
Yeah, it's the classic higher floor, higher ceiling with Herrera and Lingard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're assuming Herrera is going to start against Chelsea. He's going to start against Arsenal. He's going to start against City, he's going to start against Liverpool.
Exactly.
And Arsenal. So then you'd say, okay, maybe Lingard gets starts at the end of the season with like Everton, Huddersfield, and Cardiff, which is fine if you can afford to hold him. I mean, I guess I would hold Lingard if you have.
I mean, if you have if you have the space, obviously hold him.
But if you had both of them and you could only keep one, I would keep Herrera.
But like looking at everyone else on this, Lucas Moura had an amazing first 5 weeks to the season. Hasn't done anything since.
Yeah, I like Moy, but the guy you want for Huddersfield is obviously Billing.
And then I don't even want to talk about Ross Barkley.
Yeah, we're not.
We talked about him enough earlier.
Yeah. And then he also wants to know our thoughts on some of the new additions. Tielemans, we already spoke about. Almiron, I guess we should give another revisiting, because when I looked at everything, I think, I don't know, do you think he wants to know, do you think he's going to have a slow start?
I mean, I don't think that I said initially, I don't think he's going to start a game until March. But I also think that once he starts games that he's going to be money.
I think Almiron is definitely if you play in a keeper league.
Yeah, I mean, let me see. I want to pull up what he actually got in his bench cameo today. He got four. I mean, he got 4.5 points in 18 minutes.
So I think the thing with Almiron is that because he's coming in for such a big price, no matter what he does, it's going to seem like he's not living up to expectation.
But
having a guy come into the Premier League from MLS in the middle of the season after he just played a full season in MLS, it's tough to have to see him not having somewhat of a slow start.
But
and by slow start, I mean him playing 75, 80 minutes week in and week out for the rest of the season.
But 4.5 points in only 18 minutes of play is not bad. See, found time to get a key pass, get fouled, and commit a foul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see him having, like, I'm not going to be starting him, but, you know, he might
be. I mean, as he starts a game, I'm starting him.
Yeah, but I mean, he's going to be flirting with being efficient enough to say, I'm going to set him and forget him when he starts. Like, I do think the opportunity is there because Newcastle just does not have a creative player in the team to provide anything to the likes of what he will do. So it'll be interesting because I think he could have a couple big games with clubs playing Newcastle and just not being used to a guy who knows how to get forward and move laterally with the ball in an attacking manner. Since the only guy who can do that is Kennedy, and he dribbles in a straight fucking line down the wing.
Yeah,
and then blasts it in the
whatever happened to Kennedy?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I mean, since they shifted to that like five at the back with Matt Ritchie, there hasn't really been a spot for him. And Benitez seems to just love playing Ayuzi Perez as his advanced, for lack of a better term, advanced playmaker.
Yeah, that's not great.
And then, I guess, Batshuayi, we talked about him a little bit briefly in the beginning.
I mean, I think Batshuayi will be fine. He just needs to score a goal first.
He needs to start. That's the bigger issue.
Yeah, but will eventually. Not very many players come into a new team in January and start week one. We need to remember that Higuain right now is the exception to the rule.
Yeah, and like you mentioned when we were doing the transfer thing, the only other guy in recent memory who's come in and done that well, at least from last season, was Gabbiadini, and that was just Southampton needed a body.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think Batch will come around. Plus, you know, it's not like he hasn't played in the Premier League before, so that helps. And then Jay Will also adds Dennis Hu, referring to Dennis Suarez, who did get minutes off the bench in Arsenal's match.
And, I mean, he'll get more minutes moving forward, considering that, again, still working on integrating into the team. Ramsey is officially gone, so I don't think that Arsenal's going to really go out of their way to play him anymore.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Aubameyang didn't play because of illness, so you had a little bit of a makeshift front three for Arsenal. But Suarez, yeah, he's obviously there for the long term, so I think he will, like you said, be integrated. I think that's probably going to do it for this week's episode. We'll be back to preview game week 27 when that comes up. Not this weekend, but the following weekend. Before we go, though, Chuck, you want to tell the folks where they can find us?
Yes, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. And then...
Remember to follow us on Twitter at FPL_360. I wasn't sure if you wanted me to say that or if you were going to add that in.
Yeah, I thought you were just going into it, so I was going to let you have it, but we're good.